the Magic Trolls and the Troll Warriors.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, watching shows and blowing our nose in the year 2024. This is Knowing It's Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakatis.
I still pick my nose like a toddler.
Ew.
I was actually picking my nose right before I said that, so I don't know, maybe it was just fresh in my mind.
I'm Gina Nose Picking Ippolito.
I'm saving it for the podcast.
No, this is the podcast. The podcast has started. No,
Chan doesn't know where we are.
This doesn't feel like a podcast, so I'm going to save it for when we're really on.
Chan, it doesn't feel like a podcast because we actually started early with all of us for the first time ever.
Chan, listen, it's time that you voluntarily step down from this podcast. You are clearly not in your right scruples.
Two questions. One, I could have stepped down at any time. Two, what is being in one's right scruples?
Yeah, listen, I have not slept in two nights. I realized halfway through the sentence I didn't have the right word, but I powered through with the bit because just that's what a good co-host does.
Yep, that is what a co-host does. I think good may be a bit of a strong word to be used here.
Well, bad ones definitely don't.
That's okay. We can agree that.
Yeah.
So, as Ben Folds 5 once said famously, nope. Do it anyway, Gina.
No. Mm-hmm.
Do it anyway.
We don't quote Ben Folds 5 here.
We don't?
No, it's too many folds, honestly.
Yeah.
Can't hang with that many folds. It's like a peeking.
I mean, that's how many you need for a fitted sheet. Absolutely. Sharp minimum. Pain. You need a minimum of 5.
I mean, they're supposed to be smooth and flat. What are you talking about?
So before we're going to be talking about, this is part 3 of our 5-part extravaganza, technically 6 parts because the Children's Palace episode that Chan picked out was over 40 minutes long and took us 2 entire episodes.
Wait, explain this extravaganza to me and anyone else who hasn't been listening or wasn't paying attention.
Gina, come on now. You have
it's about toys. It's something about toys.
There was a toy store, kind of like Toys R Us, but janky and piece crappy, or more like a KB
Toys. It was much
nicer
than Toys R Us. It was much nicer.
Toys R Us is rocked.
Yeah, they did. And this place is no Toys R Us. They made a video in 1990 that was basically a bunch of toy commercials. Only they had some kids do like skits around it to kind of like make it a thing.
Jen, so, why are we just explaining the episodes that we just put out? The people at home already know all this. Gina, go listen to this show or watch the link we sent you.
Listen, who's the person who for the last 27 years that we've been hosting this podcast says every episode is maybe someone's first time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and so we recap. Like, last episode?
How does that help them in this scenario? They could just go listen to that episode as well. Notably, if you listen to this show, you would want to do that.
But if they're listening to this episode and this episode only, they're going to want to know why we're doing knockoff trolls.
Well, that's what we're explaining. This part of a 5 or 6-part series, which...
5-part series and 6 episodes.
It's interminably long. I started out being like, just get 2 or 3, because that's, usually all I can find. And then it's turned into this thing. And then there have been, like, breaks in between where Gina's gone and, like, I'm leaving next week. I don't even know what the hell we're doing for this show. No. Long.
This is actually part 4 of 5, because Children's Palace was part 3, because we did Legend of the Hawaiian Slammers for Pogs.
Right.
Then we did Crash Test Dummies.
Ooh, oh, wait, yeah. I see. You were explaining Children's Palace.
Children's Palace. What is happening right now?
I was saying, what's this 5 or 6-part series that we're doing? Like, what's...
I've explained it every time we've done it, and you've been on a majority of those episodes.
But you didn't explain it this time.
I was in the middle of explaining it when you stopped my explanation to ask me, what's that? Like, you're my 6-year-old.
Well, maybe she's asking you because you're bad at explaining things.
Honestly, it's the only answer I have left.
they're asking because they just want the interaction with an adult human.
Well, that is not the case. Gina, that is not my case.
Gina, if you wanted an interaction with an adult human, I don't know why you're talking to me. Just for the record. So just we want to talk about
basement and
thank you. This is the episode we're doing today is The Magic Trolls and the Troll Warriors, seemingly yet another failed pilot where they were trying to make trolls a thing. Now we know trolls with the Justin Timberlakes and the Anna Kendricks, shockingly not in this episode of TV from 1992. But really quick, before we talk about trolls, we had Knowing is Half the Podcast game night. Not that one. Not the one we talked about doing from Children's Palace episodes. That will come in time. We played G.I. Joe Mission Critical with the Knowing is Half the Podcast crew that showed up for it.
Look, I'm an old man. Sometimes things happen.
Robert Clark Chan literally suffered from
that's exhaustion. That's the same excuse he uses whenever his hand accidentally slaps someone on the ass.
True.
It
absolutely
is
true.
True. I'm an old man. Sometimes things happen.
Robert Clark Chan and Chan come over for July 4th. We all watch fireworks. We stay up late. The next morning, he's like, guys, I'm pretty sure I'm dying with COVID or something. And then it turns out he just suffered from exhaustion.
I was not invited to fireworks.
That's what rock stars.
Yes, yes, Gina, you were.
Oh, okay.
Children would be there, though. So you immediately said no and blocked out all memories of the event.
This is like the episode of Parks and Rec where everybody gets jealous that they didn't get invited to Jerry's party. And then they realize that it's because they have filters on their inbox to automatically send Jerry's emails to trash.
See, so I'm starting to think this episode is more like The Hangover, where Gina has no idea where she's been the last like 5 years. And we're just filling her in on what this show is.
I mean, to be fair, like you guys are clearly missing all the signs that I have been taken over by a pod person.
We haven't missed them. We just haven't noticed that much of a difference and don't want to risk losing you.
I mean, this is now I know not to ever rely on you guys. If I get body swapped, I'm not going to run up to you guys on the street and be like, guys, it's me. You're going to be like, I'm pretty sure everything's normal, even though Gina sounded like she was a 1970s Southern Belle for the last 2 weeks.
Gina, ever since I was 6 years old, the only thing I've ever wanted in my life was for someone to come up to me and go, Chan, great to see you, to turn around and scream like fucking Donald Sutherland in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and pointed him with a crazy look in my eyes. That is my dream. Once I do it, I will be able to die happy. So that's really what I'm hoping for. Is that eventually you do get taken over by pod people.
That's fair. Yeah. That's a good goal.
Also, Gina, we will know. It won't be anything cartoon related. We're just eventually one of us will just be like, hey, Gina, you feeling hungry? And you'll be like, not really, guys.
Like, oh, Jesus.
And then we'll know.
Get the flamethrower.
Yeah. Anyway, we played our second helping of G.I. Joe Mission Critical. And I will say that a TV's Gina Ippolito, my wife, Melissa, filled in for Robert Clark Chan playing Cover Girl, I will point out. Love that. And then friends of the show and friends of Vampire Detroit, Matthew Harris and Sean Gold.
Never heard of it.
Matthew Harris famously plays Alexander in episode one. And Sean does all the music for the show. So they all played big G.I. Joe fans. And we had a very good time, I thought. I thought it went very well. I think it helped that I was coaching the game instead of trying to actually play in the game.
Did it help that Gina had a lot of experience playing the game and remembered everything?
I did better this time. I did. So, I remembered 10% of the rules this time.
Now that Gina has played two full, like 2 hour sit down sessions of G.I. Joe Mission Critical, I can easily and comfortably say she still has no idea how the game works.
Listen, I killed Cobra Commander with my bare hands. No one else was involved.
No one else was involved, but Gina did. Gina took Snake Eyes, and Matt took Roadblock, and we had Mutt and Junkyard, not played by Gina, but played by Sean.
I liked Snake Eyes better. Snake Eyes has some sweet ass moves. He's got like a fucking stealth kill thing.
Yeah.
That if you kill the dude, you get to like get the card back. So you can just keep killing dudes.
Yeah. Gina's like, I'm just going to go ahead and run through the entire back line of Cobra soldiers with this one Snake Eyes card. And then she did it.
I like to kill as many people as possible.
It was kind of phenomenal. So anyway, another big thumbs up for Mission Critical. I did buy the upgrade set that allows us to play as Battle Android Troopers as one of the factions. So we're going to have to do it again sometime soon. And there are other board games. I want to start doing board game nights here on a more regular basis. So how about that?
I got to see the house lights for the first time, the holiday house lights, which last time I was at your house, you were explaining to me, but yes. I had not yet seen them. And they were decked out for 4th of July. So I demand entry for every holiday.
Gina, you can drive by the house anytime you want to.
I would love that. I would love if Melissa was like, hey, dude, why has Gina been driving by our house at the start of every month?
Are you kidding me? I put up new flashing lights every day. Okay, folks at home. Okay, this has nothing to do with the show. We will get to the show.
Oh, boy.
But here's the real poop. I was laid off from my job at Riot Games. I think I've told about that before. They had big layoffs in January, and I unfortunately was part of that deal. But they kept me on for 2 more months. And then at the end of 2 more months, I was able to get a big severance check if I hadn't picked up a new job yet. So it worked out that I accepted a job right after that ended, a new job with this new company I'm with, which makes an app called Blitz that you can play with your online games. Anyway, the point of this is I had this giant severance check. I know I'm a rich guy now. And then I started a new job right away, so I didn't really need that money to survive. So did I see a sponsored Facebook ad like I always do and purchase it and call the number and get an estimate to get permanent Christmas lights affixed to the outside of my house that change color and do tricks? Yes, I did, because I am bad with money. And I do not regret this at all. Gina, tell him. It's amazing.
Yeah, I would say good with money. It's the first thing that's made me want to buy another house after selling my house.
That's how exciting these lights are.
I mean, I gotta light up my house for every different holiday. Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for enough time knows how much I love holidays and stupid holiday crap. And I would be lighting it up for everything. Canada Day, sure. Let's do red and white for Canada Day.
That's a thing.
Chocolate chip cookie in. Day, I would do brown and black, I guess.
Okay, not as exciting, but you know, I get the idea. Look, I have gone for the Detroit Lions color scheme, and I have found the RGB numbers, and I have plugged them in here, and they work. I have Detroit Lions lights. The point I'm trying to say here is, yes, my Everlights, that's what it's called. That's my free plug. They are not paying me to say it. I just love the stuff. Consider it if you live in LA and have a house.
I saw the red, white, and blue ones in action the other night, and I was very excited upon leaving.
Yeah, and we did red, white, and blue for July 4th and G.I. Joe game night. Yo, Joe.
Well, what's the next color? The people demand this fascinating conversation that they tuned into a G.I. Joe podcast to hear.
Oh, yeah. Sunset.
No, Gina, it's going to be patriotic variations all through the month.
Okay. But what's the next like holiday proper though? I mean, other than Halloween,
my birthday.
What is that? Just poop colored?
So, I just do poop colored. Wait a minute! How dare you? They also have a special light sequence for cancer awareness, including colon cancer awareness, prostate cancer awareness, ovarian cancer awareness, and it's just like the same light over and over again. I'm not sure how that reads, but that's a little weird. That's a little weird, Everlights, I'll say. I mean, good deal. People should get aware.
I'm on a website that talks about holidays. Apparently, August 1st is international, is both Homemade Pie Day and International Child Free Day. Is this a Gina holiday? Is August 1st Gina's greatest day of the year? Homemade pie and no children? Wow.
Well, that's good because if you're going to do some squat cobblers.
Oh, wait, it's also Spider-Man Day? Holy shit. Okay, I think this is my holiday.
Lord.
And that was Gina's Holidays of the Future, a new segment on Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
I'm just saying, you better fucking do something for all those in August, because you can't. There's Gina, there's you a tell terrible me what they stretch. Are,
I'll come up with something, because you can there's create a, your own lighting things too.
Yeah, there's a terrible stretch in the summertime after July 1st and before Halloween, where it's just a dead zone, a holiday dead zone.
That's why July 5th is the beginning of spooky season.
That's true.
Yeah. Also, football season's coming soon, too, so I got it covered.
You got a lot of blues? Is that what it's going to be? All Detroit Lions blue?
It's blue and silver, baby. I got it. Blue, white, silver.
Let's Are you sure it. You're not celebrating Hanukkah?
Could be also Hanukkah.
I feel like I've discovered the flaw in this whatever light you want.
You know what? People of all creeds and faiths are allowed to love the Detroit Lions and celebrate in their own way.
Can you explain to me how any color raises awareness for prostate cancer?
This is my problem with the... What color do you think is... See, if I was to put this color on the outside of my house...
Mm-hmm.
What color would you think would be prostate cancer?
Cancer.
It's not cancer color, unfortunately.
Well, I know that pink is breast cancer, and I think purple is colon cancer. So,
according to this, dark blue is colon cancer. Prostate cancer is like a teal.
I was going to guess orange, but
orange is kidney cancer. It looks like.
Ugh, that's a rough one.
This is all made up bullshit.
But the weirdest one here is that white is like lung cancer. But if you just have white lights outside of your house, nobody's going to be like, oh, that guy. There are so many houses making me aware of lung cancer.
No,
right now.
You know what you have to do? You have to put up white lights and then a giant cigarette on top of your house that like also puffs every couple seconds.
I would say the Joel Camel would be a good color for lung cancer.
It would make people aware, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe anyway, let's talk about, I'm moving forward. The Magic Trolls and Troll Warriors. Gina, I know you did a lot of research. Tell us about this cartoon.
I mean, truthfully, there wasn't a lot out there. Even the IMDb is like, if you know anything about this show, fucking email us, I guess. but it was made in 1993, April 28th, 2 days before my birthday.
How about that?
Nah, I wasn't born in 1993 though. But there's a troll doll wiki I discovered, a whole wiki devoted to the world of troll dolls. And what I learned was that there were some nefarious deeds afoot here. Because as Ray said, this was intended as a pilot to start a franchise. It ended up going nowhere. I can't imagine why. But The actual troll dolls that we know and love, and probably some of you have masturbated to at some point, are from the Good Luck toy line. That's the name of the toy line. And this is not, this knockoff is not from a Good Luck toy line. They're based, the ones in this cartoon were based on a knockoff troll doll toy. Then these people making this cartoon were like, hey, listen, we found out there's a fucking knockoff troll doll. So if we make a show about it, we don't have to pay anyone for the rights to it. We don't have to deal with any rights issues. We don't have to talk to the creators. We could show those trolls decapitating humans and no one can say boo. So this is counterfeit dolls, which is maybe why the episode opens with slavery.
Yes, it does. And that made me uncomfortable. So this is from TriStar Video, makers of fine movies everywhere. My immediate first thing here is, how do we have trolls? They're not like singing and dancing and singing hits of the 80s. With Rachel Bloom, that's what
only
I would
know
to see.
You only know one thing about troll dolls, and that's terrible. I had a whole collection of troll dolls that were in a basket by my bed.
Okay, I know two things.
They're also
Norwegian. Thank you.
Mark off that Gina getting hipstery about 80s toys.
Yeah, we're
knowing it's half the podcast bingo sheet.
I still have them at home. I found them recently.
Oop. Go ahead and mark that slot off too. I will say that this really, I don't, the Trolls movies with Anna Kendrick, pretty decent. And they made me appreciate them so much more because this cartoon is a huge pile of poo-poo.
This cartoon has a hard time getting it going and never truly really gets anywhere. And I found it mostly depressing. I could see why it did not get picked up.
I'm going to be honest. I found this so boring that at some point I started watching it on 1.25 speed.
Oh, and then at some my point God.
At some point I upped it to 1.5.
Oh, my God.
I just need to get through it faster.
That's real weird.
What? You never, I do it for work when we're like, we're looking at edits of videos and it's like, no, everyone does it because they're like 40 minute videos and you don't have 40 minutes to sit through there and be like, okay, can you tweak this? Can you tweak that? So we all watch it at one and a half speed. Some crazy people watch it at two speed. But I had the idea as I was watching this and was bored out of my gourd. I was like, you know what? I'm going to speed this up a little.
Yeah, I wish I would have considered that because I just sat and watched the entire 22 minutes waiting for it to end.
This is why I'm more productive than the two of you.
Now, I will say the animation itself.
No. There is no point at which watching a cartoon from 1993 about knockoff dolls is productive. So I don't care if you go 10,000 times. It's still a fucking waste.
Joke's on you. I just got hired to write this reboot.
Of Trolls.
Knockoff Trolls.
Troll Warriors. Knockoff Trolls. Okay.
Well, you know what? I also did read something that said that this cartoon was intended to be aimed at girls. Well, but sure. Then because they included the word warriors, people were like, well, that's a boy thing.
Well, no, they have two lines. The magic trolls are for the girls and the troll warriors are for the boys. They're like, oh, dude, we could just like get both by making this god awful story. And I'm sorry, did they explain why the magic trolls were teeny tiny and everybody else was normal size?
I did not understand. I'm sure we'll get there at some point. But when they started to show smaller trolls, I was like, I've lost the thread.
I think they lost the thread of this a while before it happened. Yeah,
I would have said that that's because you watched it sped up, but I watched it slow as hell and I still did not understand.
I will just say early on, I appreciated the animation style. This is an old school style of animation that it seems like they actually put some craft into.
It's old Japanese.
And it was not bad. It was especially compared to some of the other Garbo we've seen.
No, this listen, I they bad. Introduce a, we'll get there. They introduce a lady troll and she was not fuckable at all.
Oh, dude. I'm sorry. And they were like, no, they had to tell you, oh, she's by far the most beautiful. Look at her gorgeous bazongas. I mean, and listen, she just looks like she wants to bone.
If cartoons could make a Smurf fuckable, then like they can make a troll. But I saw her and I was like, oh, it was a weird, like uncanny valley kind of thing that it's like humanoid. But I did not like it.
I'm trying to decide if the mandate was like, look, these can't be like sexy at all. We need to make them all very unsexual, male or female, androgynous, whatever. Just keep them like real plain. Or if that's like a real specific Japanese fetish and like there are people who are into like, man, I'd love to fuck that potato. Oh my God, I can talk. I think it's possible that that's what happened.
So, yes, this episode of Trolls opens with slavery and mining, which, you know, I just looked at it and I was just like, this is Project 2025 kind of laid out right before us.
Nice.
It's a lot of weird messaging in this show. We'll get to it later, but I felt a real despair when someone was like, you're never allowed to be anything less than absolutely happy ever again or people will die.
Yes. Well, okay. I have thoughts as well.
From the jump, yeah, that's like the thing that distinguishes the newer version from the old is because, like, I think the whole conceit of the troll dolls, just like dolls, like, oh, they bring happiness. And so that's their only thing.
Is that their thing? And
I mean, it has to be because
I've gone on the Disney World Epcot Center Norway ride, and the trolls are there to be mischievous and live in the forest. They're like,
wait, are troll? I don't think trolls are Disney. Are trolls Disney?
Well, the trolls are not specifically Disney, but they use the troll mythology in Disney World's Epcot Center Norway ride.
What? Listen, I'm talking about the cool trolls. I'm talking about the troll dolls from the troll 90s ball. With the multicolored hair, Justin Timberlake. And the big bellies. And sometimes they had a little gem in their belly. Are the Justin? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the Justin Timberlake ones. Are they naked? Because the dolls were naked.
They have clothes, but like
not all of them.
They tend to be like scantily clad, I'll say.
They're not skanking
it up, as Chan is implying right now.
I mean, some of them are.
Is that I had a bunch of these troll dolls. I thought they were cool. I thought their hair was cool. I didn't realize there was a messaging behind it. But when I go home, my room is still the same at my mom's house. So I still have my pajamas there, and I don't have to pack as much. And my pajama shirt that I wear is an old t-shirt that is a troll doll's multicolored hair, and it says, nah.
Oh, why don't you wear that around here?
I guess I assumed all these years that the mythology of troll dolls were that they were kind of sassy.
I mean, to be fair, the ones in the new movies are somewhat sassy. I think they are naughty and mischievous.
Do they ever say not?
Nobody says no.
Honestly, I think one of them does at some point. So don't get too excited.
I mean, they bring back a knot in X-Men 97, which is great because the original X-Men had Cyclops saying knot, and he did it in the exact same way. And I stood up and cheered.
Mm-hmm. I have not finished that series yet.
Don't admit that to people.
Wow. You just admitted to having a trolls knot t-shirt, yet everyone
listening right now is like, God, she just keeps getting fucking cooler.
I just want to lord it over everybody that I have finished X-Men 97, so
I mean, look, it's great.
Not
oh my god,
you got me.
Look at that. Oh my god, so many levels. I'm amazing.
Dude, that's the most successful not joke I think I've ever heard. That's incredible. Got me. He got me. Straight up got me, everybody.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages. Earth's first line of defense has a breakthrough in space technology. Magnalock. It defies the law of gravity. Activate StarCom equipment. Control StarCom weapons. Figures and vehicles each sold separately. Magnalock, a mighty power for StarCom. A deadly threat in the hands of the Shadow Force. Who will survive? StarCom! Now, back to G.I. Joe.
All right. So, Sven is a troll.
Sven's like a Nordic sort of fellow, Swedish
Sven
fellow.
Sven is your hero troll, mm-hmm. And he's saying, I'm going to go see the princess. And they're just
he is kind of hunky. Like, unlike the princess, he's clearly designed to be hunky.
I didn't notice until they pulled him out of the tree and has like rippling abs. I'm like,
Is and isn't he wearing a fucking Speedo or something? It's very weird.
It's a thong.
Yeah. It's real close to He-Man look.
It's crazy. And the princess troll, Celia.
Before we get to that, it's weird that this is trolls are from like Norway or something, Finland or like
Norway. That's correct.
Sweden. Why is there only one character who attempts a Swedish accent?
Keep your mind on your work, Sven. Thorbjörg is just waiting to try his new whip out on us.
That was more German than Norwegian.
I bet that dude recorded separately from all the other voice actors. And like the person in the booth that was supposed to be directing them was like, ugh, it's fine. I just want to go home.
Sven, via the master race.
Or he was the one nobody liked and they recorded him separately. Like, tell him that everybody's doing a Swedish accent. What? That's not going to make any sense. That was going to be fucking hilarious, man. And then he listens to it. The first time he gets to see it is like at the Chinese Man Theater. And he's like,
quite the elaborate story you're putting together, Chan.
Fuck, why is everybody else speaking American?
So we learn that there's an evil king, No Laugh. His name is No Laugh, everybody. Oof,
that was terrible.
Hard to take.
I get it.
Thanks, Gina. The problem was not that I didn't get it.
Pretty unusual for you, Ray. So, like, no, don't get on
this Gina. One even landed with me. That's how you know it was two on the nose. I had no trouble following along with this plot until about 2/3 of the way through. And then it's not so much that I had trouble following it. I just didn't care anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't seem to care about it. Neither should I, you know. Now the Princess Celia is singing out of her window up in the tower on the hill where she is held captive by King No Laugh. Why he doesn't just kill her, I don't know. She offers hope to the people in the mines through her songs, although her songs are always sad. The question I have, and Robert Clark Chan, if you might please, I want to hear her song. Question, is this song any kind of banger? I don't know. She's got a lovely singing voice. I don't know if that's a banger.
To be fair, the happy song later kind of is.
When I hear that too, when we get to it, absolutely. Oh, I have a note tied. That's at 5:50. So we'll get there when we get there. we go to the tower above, and there are trolls patrolling alongside the tower where there's a parapet. Where they, you know, in the castle where the, you know, they have the stones and then the openings and the stones and then the openings. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, they have like multiple pets. And if you look and there's a couple of them together, that's a pair of pets.
No, that is not.
Mm-hmm. It is a pair of pets.
The big quest I have is that the trolls that are navigating this castle are too small to see over the low sections. So what's the point of the parapet at all? If no one can see over the top of even the low sections, well, also
clearly they have murdered a larger species.
That's the second question. Yes. Also, this castle is clearly not built for them.
It's to keep out the Mongolian horde.
No, that is wow. A concern, I think.
Gina, casual Mongolian racism. Just throw it in the podcast.
I mean,
not going to help you land that Mongolian fairy tales video game that I think was about to reach out.
Mongolians need to be protected against. They're a constant threat. The last time they took over, like 3/4 of the civilized world or whatever, where could they do next time? The whole world, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. Is that who crypto bros really are?
Mongolians?
Yeah, they're just taking over the crypto world.
Like, how are they at riding horses, I think is the question.
Yeah, for the record, I just want to be on the record. Mongolians are badass. They're great warriors.
Oh, yeah, no.
Great leaders and make a wonderful noodle dish at the mall.
I don't know.
Burbank Town Center, go there. Mongolian Grill. I eat it. So should you. Free plug, Mongolian Grill. Balls in your court.
I do love Mongolian barbecue. Fish balls in your
court. So... The troll Sven has shown up, and he has climbed up to the window to see Celia, and she informs him, or they inform whoever, it is wrong to be happy. And she says, look, like, they're gonna murder my father, he's being held inside this mountain, and I have to just be here but not be trouble. For reasons, I guess. Again, I don't know why she's necessary in this plan at all.
First off, I just play this real quick.
And remember, when you make King No Laugh angry, you endanger your own father.
So he's King No Laugh, so he doesn't do any laughing. But if he doesn't, if you're not supposed to make him angry either, what emotions are left for him? What is he trying to achieve? Because he doesn't seem like he's like a Morrissey kind of sad boy. Like, I only want to be sad all the time because he's wearing colors. But there aren't a whole lot of other emotions if you don't want to be happy, angry, or sad, I guess.
Wait a minute, talk about, you've got disgust, and you've got Bill Hader.
and you got embarrassment. Yeah,
you got the new ones.
Inside Out too.
Yeah, you got the new anxiety. Teenage ones.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is that my transcriber has transcribed this as you endanger your own fucking life. And I'm like, you know, yeah, no, that's why I would have written it too.
Taking it to another place, and I would have appreciated it. They say it's wrong to be happy. And so Sven's response to the princess who's being held in captivity against her will at the threat of death of her father is just smile, princess.
Yo.
Fuck you.
On the one hand, that is awful. But on the other hand, I also think that backs up what I'm saying. It's like the whole point of trolls in the 80s was like, hey, be happy. Like your don't worry, be happy kind of thing.
Yeah, that's an abomination. Mm-hmm. You know, I've come around on that song, and I've gone back to the other side on that song. Don't worry, be happy is a effed up song.
Bobby McFerrin.
That song was always great. Bobby McFerrin is great.
He's a friggin' genius. The song made a lot of money.
Made a lot of money.
That's okay, because artists deserve every once in a while.
It made almost as many t-shirts as the Knot joke did.
Sadly, I doubt he got any of the money.
Oh, none of it at all.
So he got as much money from the Knot shirts as he got from the Don't Worry, Be Happy shirts.
I'm just saying this came from the Reaganomics era of union busting, destroying the middle class, allowing the AIDS crisis to go unchecked. No gay rights for anyone. And the one message of the era is don't worry, be happy.
Yeah, shut up and smile.
Shut up and smile, princess. And you know what? Maybe in the 80s we could have done with a little more anger. I'm just saying.
I mean, the music I was listening to, I don't know what the hell you were doing.
I was also listening to
people can't be angry when they're on that much cocaine.
Have you seen people on cocaine, Gina?
Gina, you live in Hollywood, right?
Listen, they're amped up. They're not angry.
I don't know that if you've been in a Starbucks at 8:30 at night at Gower Gulch.
That's not cocaine. That's meth, Chan. That's different drugs. Okay, no,
to be fair, Gina is correct on that as well. No, yep.
Meth is that same Starbucks in Bakersfield at 8:30 on Sunset Boulevard. Different matter.
My understanding is that cocaine reveals a lot about your true essence and soul. And so some people can be angry assholes on it as well. I think that is a fair statement. But also, Gina's right about the meth, Chan. Come on. Get it right.
Please. I worked frickin' Gower Gulch for 2 years.
Is that like a corral where cowboys shoot each other? What's happening?
It is. Have you not been there on Sunset and Gower? Like across the street from the studio.
Where the Denny's is?
Where they used to shoot a lot of Westerns.
Is that right? That explains why it looks like that.
Mm-hmm. And it is a convergence spot for a lot of interesting people.
I've eaten there after midnight before. Mm-hmm. Goth after clubs are a heck of a place.
We won't let all goth kids going to Denny's.
It's wonderful. Oh, I'm getting a big smile. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make here is that his answer to Princess is, I know things are terrible and there's no reason to be upbeat, but just smile more. You look prettier. And I wanted to punch him square in the nutsack.
Yeah, not great, but
very unhappy with that. If they had
cast a hotter troll girl, then they wouldn't need to tell her to smile.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about, you say, were you,
hold on.
Previously, were you saying that this princess was ugly or that the one magic troll girl was ugly?
Oh, no, I was saying this princess is not cute.
Wow.
Who are you talking about?
Princess is perfectly fine.
I was talking about the little magic trolls at the end. There's like five of them, and one of them is a girl. Oh, and one's
power is like that she's popular?
Something like that, yeah.
There are two girls out of the five. We'll get into that as well. I have many thoughts, but I really want to talk for a moment because the guards see Sven, and they pull out their rocket launchers.
Their bazookas, because in the early 80s, the bazooka was the most boss weapon you could get. You could imagine as a child, as a young boy, is the bazooka. There was absolutely nothing more powerful. A little bit later, it sort of evolved into rocket launchers, where you would put a rocket at the end of your little thing and then shoot it. But the bazooka was one where you either would like put it in the top or basically like the side of the tube, or you would drop what looked like a giant ass bullet in the front of the bazooka, and then like sort of boom and pull it all the way down before you you shot it out. But a bazooka was a very distinct object of much excitement for little boys.
We could agree both of those weapons, rocket launchers and bazookas, involved an explosive element of some kind.
Indeed.
Whereas these particular versions are, they look like fire, like old school Woody Woodpecker style firecrackers from the front, but they're made of wood. Mm-hmm. And they just start launching them en masse at the tower, and they barely do anything at all. They are basically the same ferocious equivalent of the G.I. Joe missile launchers that would shoot out and like you'd bother the cat. Not that I did that, of course.
I mean, they're freaking trolls. What do you want from them?
I just don't shoot rocket launchers at the princess's tower. Should these go without saying.
Listen, if she's got good security, you should be able to shoot whatever you want up there.
I don't think they are the security. I'm not sure Gina understands how security works.
Okay, hold on.
I'm saying if they've properly reinforced that castle.
Oh, all right.
She'll be fine.
What this bazooka does? Because I did a zoom in and I'd forgotten that they shoot one, and it basically is a giant arrow that just boom pinpoint. Cuts the rope that Sven is holding onto, so he falls down into a cart full of hay. And honestly, I'm doubly impressed by this bazooka now, because bazookas are not meant for accuracy, and this fucking troll, I gotta give it up to him. Dude, he shot a rope in half with it.
No, it's pinpoint accuracy. And one thing that I really did enjoy about this part is our hero Sven is at the top of the tower getting shot at with rockets. And he says, "You'll never catch this troll." And then roughly 5 seconds later, they catch him.
Yeah, it's a very...
He didn't get very far.
It's a very Link in a Zelda cartoon. Excuse me, princess.
Oh, God. I hate that so much. Okay, you made me mad right now. I'm mad, Chan. I was in a good mood. Now I'm mad. I was goth kids at a Denny's happy. And now I'm Link ripping off Steve Martin in the cartoon Legend of Zelda, angry.
a lot of emotions. Do that to you.
A lot of emotions in this episode. They catch him like right away. Like the security actually does their job. I assumed that Sven was going to arrow Flynn right through them and just Robin Hood his way away. And no, they shoot him down and then they trip him up and then they put him in a cage. Very efficient security work, I'll be honest with you, and unexpected.
Indeed.
And this is again where we learn Celia, we learn her story, her backstory. Her father's being held prisoner in Granite Mountain. And this is weird. So they capture Sven, they take him to be what I assume was like to be executed.
Nope.
And he's like tied to a tree or something.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I'm like, well, obviously he's gonna get out of this. You know, I mean, what are we doing? You've established the hero character. You're not just going to just like trash on him the entire episode. Well, they say it's time to let the embrace begin. And then there's a whole lot of smoke. And then
you were like, oh my God, what clan's he going to be?
I was. Is he going to be a Toreador? Is he going to be a Bruja? A Ventru maybe? I see this troll. Maybe we get funky and make him a Nosferatu, since it's clear the writers hate him.
He's definitely Bruja. He's out there like stirring shit up.
Yeah, I think you're on the order. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a Vampire the Masquerade reference that Chan made. Not Bray. Mm. Chan made.
It's spreading. Record. It's spreading. The mind virus.
I like it.
If there were a podcast of like a World of Darkness kind of podcast.
Oh shoot, that like did that as like an audio drama?
Yeah, yeah. Set it somewhere nuts, like I don't know, like Detroit or something like that.
Nobody would ever do that. Stop it.
No, I know. It's pie in the sky.
You know what? I'm going to type in vampiredetroit.com just to, for a laugh, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, shit. Dude, somebody did it.
Never heard of it.
Oh, shit. It's me.
Who are you?
I'm Audio Drama's Race to Canis.
Oh, that's so sad.
Oh no. I'm in a good mood though after saying it, so I feel good about everything.
Audio dramatist. How about that? Dramatist.
The day I refer to myself as a dramatist, I want you to find me in the street and run me over with a Jeep because
no, fucking dramaturg is on my resume. So I am all about getting fancy and highfalutin.
No. No, please.
Does
God,
not
no.
get you a job at a Starbucks. So in case you're wondering.
Especially not one at the Gower Gulch.
Yeah. No, I had to transfer for that. I had to.
Yeah. No, to obviously.
Use obviously. All my Bakersfield swag to get into there.
So I assume that Sven the Troll is dead here because they don't really explain what's happening, why it's happening, or what to expect. So they just blow a bunch of smoke at him and then he's sort of laying there not moving. And I'm like, did they just murder their protagonist 5 minutes into this cartoon?
He got a big tree hug. Gas.
They didn't really say it was the, I assume they gassed him. Like, just straight up sarin gassed him. But they don't really come back to it for a while either. We're just left to wonder what happened to Sven.
Well, there's a lot of world building to do in 22 minutes. So,
that
oh boy,
true.
Is there. And they left a lot of meat on that bone. at this point, we go back to Celia. She's singing part two at 5 minutes and 50 seconds in, Chan, if you might pull that for us. Now, suddenly, based on these events, she's only singing happy songs. This is what taught people. Just tell them to smile more, guys.
So it worked, is what you're saying.
It worked. Yeah, medium banger.
Yeah, here's the thing. I realize this was made in 1993, but I could see this being in some sort of weird Return to Oz labyrinth Dark Crystal movie.
Yep.
Not
yep.
as the banger, not as like the You Remind Me of the Babe type banger, but just like the as a throwaway song that someone is like humming as they're brushing their hair in the mirror right before a giant trash monster bursts in and is like, what about this? This isn't junk.
You know what? I think it's the song that plays from Masters of the Universe when Billy Barty uses the musical key to open the portal.
Yep.
That's the song that plays.
And that song is a fucking banger.
That song's a banger, just for the record.
Yeah.
Full banger.
It is a banger. That one cop thought that it was some sort of Japanese synthesizer. That's
how much of a
banger it was.
I saw that movie for my birthday party when I was much younger because it came out around the time of my birthday. So I got like a dozen kids and friends to go see it.
Oh, I watch it every year.
Oh, I haven't seen it maybe since then. And I understand it has flaws, but it will always be deeply personal to me to love that
movie.
It's great.
My brother and I still quote it at each other a lot.
I've never seen it, but I definitely do want to see it.
What was your childhood, dude?
Oh, man. Knowing is half the podcast, movie night. Coming back.
It holds up. It's not. It holds up. The lady characters are great. You would think it would be sexist or some shit. Courtney Cox's character is great. The way they sort of like wind in the fact, like they were like, look, we don't have a budget to make Eternia. What if they just show up on Earth? Which sounds lame, but then if you're fucking Courtney Cox and you're 97 pounds and there's a dude who like there's a fucking beast man chasing you, it's legitimately terrifying. And the mask effects that they use are good. They hold up. Gwildor is hilarious. I love it.
Two things. One, that studio made a bunch of movies like Masters of the Universe where they took very fantastical properties and just set them in like a barren New York City because they were so cheap they wouldn't want to pay any extras. So they set it in New York and there are no people anywhere at any point during that movie. Second thing, best line of the movie comes after the credits when Skeletor pops his head back up again and says, I'll be back.
Which, by the way, Skeletor played by Frank Langella, thespian Frank Langella, who I think has maybe been Me Too'd since then.
Very famous sexual harasser, Frank Langella.
But he does the like Michael Caine method where he's like, oh, you want me to play a skeleton faced ghoul who is obsessed with like defeating He-Man and taking over Castle Grayskull and all of Eternia. Great. I am going to give you the straightest bad guy performance you will ever see. And he commits like nobody I've ever seen.
Phenomenal. What I love about it is he says, I'll be back, implying a sequel. And there was no sequel.
Right. Of course.
Frank's
I wish
getting
there
up
was
there
a
in
sequel.
Years. We're running out of time, Hollywood.
I wish that there was a sequel. Else. I mean, everyone in that, honestly, perfect casting. The woman who plays Evelyn, who is in a lot of other stuff, known for her striking eyes. Like anytime you see her, you're like, oh shit, it's Evelyn, because that actress has the most unusual eyes. And just as Evelyn, she's just so good.
Yeah. And of course, Dolph Lundgren is He-Man.
Yeah. Solid, solid. Delightful. Dude, all the extras also great. But Courtney Cox really, really selling it. Yeah, tragic backstory Courtney about Cox, how her parents just recently died. She's really bringing it.
I mean, you sold me. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I think we all need to watch this one together. I think this is a get together.
I'm game.
This is
like
an
I
online
said,
Patreon exclusive get together.
I mean, like Masters I said, I watch it every year as is, so you don't need to convince me.
Man, okay. You know, Gina's been doing it right this whole time. Mm-hmm. This song, a medium banger of happy songs, has awakened a troll bird. A bird with troll hair who's sleeping in a snowy branch of a tree or something. And he goes to, he gathers five eggs together. Don't know what they are yet. And then flies over to where the princess is singing. And then, despite being larger than the princess, squeezes his way into the window. Which just makes me wonder, like, the princess could leave at any time.
She could have gotten out anytime she wanted to.
She did, yeah. But she didn't. Because her father's being held captive. This plot holds together.
I feel like her and the big bad have kind of a thing going on. And she's
I think
like,
they do.
Oh, no, I'm trapped.
And they like, have a Beauty and the Beast thing going on where he's holding her captive because he likes having her around. And she is a prisoner. We'll just say it's problematic in the year 2024. Not the best situation. There are five magical trolls who are even smaller than the normal trolls, hidden in the
for
eggs.
For no reason whatsoever. A reason that we not cannot determine. This.
Oh, we flashed back to explain why they're in the eggs, Gina.
No. I'm saying why they're small.
Oh, yeah. There's no cause for that whatsoever. They only can get woken up by a happy song. And we meet them all.
Is that happiness in Scandinavia?
It's as close as they get, Chan. I've played Remedy's games, Alan Wake and Control. That is about as happy as they get.
Okay. Yeah, check this out.
Pretty delightful games, honestly. Alan Wake 2 DLC just came out, and it's wonderful. The point I'm trying to make here is there are five magical tiny trolls. We meet them. Loki, who is a painter. Wartlet, I think, is the second girl's name. Not really sure what she does. Not well defined at all.
We can't even look these things up because there's nobody that cares enough to even give us the names of characters on a Wikipedia somewhere.
And then Zenk, who does have a purpose, he mixes the paint that Loki uses to paint with. Okay. So we have a token girl whose job is to be the token girl, and then two boys who have very clearly defined roles. And then we get the married couple of, I got Thor and Odin, and she is very abusive to her husband, the king. She is very downright mean to him. She blames him for everything.
Someone got COVID in your house there, Chan?
I thought that was Gina.
Yeah.
No, hell no.
They just woke up from a multi-decade, near as I can tell, slumber. And the first thing out of her mouth is, how did you get us in this situation? It's like, lady, I was an egg. Why is this my fault?
This feels personal, Ray.
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Okay, just checking. checking
them. Someone's at the door. The evil king is there to visit Princess Celia. And he's really mad about the happy songs. Does not care for that at all. Everyone has to hide under the bed, including the giant bird. And then we cut back to Sven, our hero, who is still alive, not dead, but tied to a tree.
Sure.
In his skivvies.
Yeah, wearing a thong.
All right, now do you want to fuck him?
I wasn't talking about his fuckability. I was talking about her fuckability.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Women always got to be the biggest critics of other women, don't they, Chan?
Yeah. No solidarity
Listen,
there.
I'm just saying. Make her at least as fuckable as a Smurf.
I'm just saying I'd vote for any princess, just not that one. You know what I'm saying?
Her voice was very shrill.
Yeah, she was almost too prepared to be a princess, you know?
I mean, we do have to agree that all those magic trolls, tremendously unfuckable.
I mean, too small. What would you do with them? I've seen Gen V. It just doesn't work.
I have not, and I don't want to know what you're referring to.
Gina knows.
Huh?
So nope, we have
a 40 looking at like fanfic pics of Sven in some other in compromising positions. There was one where it looks like he was getting anal sex. And I thought about screenshotting. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to fuel anything today. So that will just remain on my hard drive.
You know, I didn't notice that. But yeah, Chan, why don't you keep that one on the secret folder, if you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, Ray. It is filthy.
No, I never want to know about it. It would upset me, quite honestly. Anyway, the rule is the five tiny trolls and the bird tell the princess, and Chan, I know your feelings about this, you must stay happy, goddammit, 24/7, or everyone is doomed. Now, granted, things were basically working before this, but now she has to stay happy, despite the fact that her life is terrible, and the life of all of her people and family are also terrible.
She starts crying.
The magic trolls will banish if you don't.
How can I be happy when I know Sven is being held by the weeping willows?
Oh, this is terrible, terrible, terrible. Our only hope is to get them to the magic.
The sounds that they're making behind him, as she's, you know, like, how can I be happy? And she can see and hear them writhing around in pain. I mean, I don't want to tell her to, like, you know, like, hey, smile, you'll look pretty. I want to tell her, like, smile. These magical creatures are screaming in agony.
How do you smile through that? That is upsetting.
I could.
That what? My
well, Gina
hot
could, sure.
abs boyfriend is making out with a tree? I mean, you fucking deal with it. Jesus.
Man. How am I the least harsh person on this podcast?
You haven't that lived a life, son.
I feel like I have. Tell that to my knees. The point I'm trying to make is, Zenk, you got to mix some colors. Loki, you got to paint it. Bird, now that they've mixed colors and painted a door, do all the rest of the work to turn that door into a portal. The bird seems like the most powerful one of all of them.
Well, he was the protector of all of them, so why not? What's wrong with a fucking strong bird?
You wouldn't vote
for a bird president, huh?
Look, I would vote for any bird, Chan.
Uh-huh.
Just uh-huh. not that one.
Yeah.
And not this other one either, just for the record. I guess I thought the trolls would have a magical property. They wouldn't need someone else to turn their drawing of a door into a magical portal. I would think the drawing itself would be a magical portal. Am I asking too much of my trolls' failed pilot to have the bird not be the Gandalf of the crew?
I mean,
give them powers.
They've got, like, one of them's named after a freaking god of mischief.
Yeah, and he paints things that don't do anything. I don't know. Anyway, they go to... Okay,
look, I need an arc. This is a pilot. two seasons in, they'll be super powerful.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay, Goku. They go to Troll Village through this portal. And, okay, I need y'all. They show up and baby trolls just start appearing. It is revealed that every time the married couple of Thor and Odin, every time they get quote unquote tender, a bunch of babies appear in the village. We've been with them the whole time. When were they fucking?
They don't need to fuck, dude. These are magic trolls. Fucking for them is being tender. Like, just...
Yes, I know. Fine. Being tender is fucking. And that's where babies come from. I get it, Chan. Yes. Are they boning in the background the second they hit the village? Like,
look,
they're on a mission.
I am actually... Okay, this... this here is... troll fucking. In case you really want to know, I got a screenshot of it. I'm going to take it out of my special folder, and I'm going to put it onto the internet for you.
Put it on the secret folder.
Make sure you attach your name to it.
Robert Clark Chan approves this.
This is how trolls have sex.
They're just hugging. It's a tender hug. I'll give it that.
That's what you think.
It's a very strange hug.
The shot that's cuts
not,
off.
That is not
at
how
way.
You hug.
It's but they we do don't look see like low. So
they do look
I'll
like
be honest,
two middle aged lesbians.
Being married
lesbians.
Over a decade, that looks too tender, Gina. I'll be honest. That is
they do look like two middle aged lesbians that are in Palm Springs.
Exactly. Where do you think that little wand is going? That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay. You know what? And the babies just appear immediately?
I mean, how long are they supposed to gestate? What is the ordinary period for a fully grown magic troll to come to term? Ray?
Longer than 5 seconds.
Oh, really? Really?
What if, yes. I mean, that's, here's the thing. What if, are there abortions in this troll world? Because how soon
do
you need to,
how could there be?
How soon do you need to schedule your appointment if these babies are popping out in 5 seconds? No, wait,
Yep. You got to be ready for it.
Yeah. On the plus side, though, I mean, unless on the plus side, like, if you could pop out a baby in 5 seconds, probably a lot more people would have babies if they didn't have to fucking carry those things around for 9 months.
Yeah.
Aren't there enough people in Los Angeles, Gina?
Yes.
If the magic trolls are Democrats, then they will abort the babies after they've been born. So I don't think that's a problem.
Oh, yes. The famed afterbirth abortion that is completely real and a real thing said in a real presidential debate.
Yep, that's how that
repeatedly
works.
Listen, if I could get away with killing kids and calling it that, I'd do it.
Gina's well, the one signing up to be an abortionist.
I didn't even know that
how
was a
problem. How old is your kid? 5? I will call it a post-birth abortion.
Look, yeah. In the Mayan calendar, it's still 14 weeks. We're good.
Oh, we're good then. All right. So... This scene serves basically no purpose because they immediately go back to, they didn't save Sven or anything. They just went to the village, sat there, and then went right back to the room again to check if it's safe because now they're going to rescue the princess.
Well, no, they need to charge up in magic troll land or
did whatever. They really need to? They could have gone there first.
Did babies need to get made?
No. No, Chan, they very much did not.
Like, if you have the choice, would you wait to make the babies? Or would you be like, you know what? We've got 4.5 minutes right now. What do you say we start populating this village, huh?
But what are you going to do with the extra 4 minutes?
I mean, that's the magic of trolls.
Okay.
I believe it's singing 80s song.
So they bust the princess out, but she puts on a disguise so they won't know it's her. Okay, that makes sense. They're going to save Sven, but somehow, despite not seeing any of this, the evil trolls have set a trap around Sven in case somebody tries to rescue him.
Yeah, because they ain't no dummies. They're good security.
They pop up all around and surround the couple of trolls, who throw flowers at them and then just run around them and get away. Not great. I mean,
they're not great security, but they're
not good security at all. They're
competent. I mean, they must be probably the best money can buy in this troll kingdom.
But they're so efficient in Act One. I don't understand why they're so wildly bad at their jobs in Act Three.
I don't know. Fucking magic ray. Even Superman's vulnerable to magic ray.
I mean, well, how would I know that, Chan?
I imagine thousands upon thousands of Facebook threads, but, you know, whatevs.
And I have to look at all of them. Pity me. Okay, so at this point, they realize they've only have about 2 more minutes of show left. So we have to save Sven. So they have to attack the boss, but they can't be violent, right? Because they're magical trolls for girls. So they have to perform a physical act, but they can't be violent. So what do? They tickle their enemies into submission. And then the threat of tickling allows them to chase around the boss. And then more trolls show up. There's magic trees. And then they tickle again. They just go back to the tickling over and over again. Everybody's together. They pulled Sven off the tree, and now they just make a beeline for it. They just run and run. They're being chased by a horde of bad guys. They paint another door, turn it magical, and then escape.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes, Chan, Sven's doing some bondage play with the tree.
I mean, I remember seeing this scene in Evil Dead. He's about to
also happened in Evil Dead. That is correct.
He's about to have some terrible tree things happen to him.
If you're in a horror movie with a living tree, I am sorry about your private parts.
He does go Super Saiyan, though, so that's...
he does look like a Dragon Ball Z character.
He goes Super Saiyan to escape. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. They get back to Celia's Tower of Doom. Celia and Sven then at that moment are reunited because Sven pops into the portal at the last possible second. And he says, now I have to go. You have to stay here because your father is still in the mountain. We haven't addressed that in any way whatsoever. So I'm going to be a freedom fighter on the outside with these magical trolls and this magical bird. You stay here. I ask the question, what was accomplished in this pilot, really?
Fucking 5 magical trolls got waken up. Babies start getting made in the village. Sven goes from being a worker drone to being the savior of his species from the evil Dr. Nolaf. Is that what his name is?
Dr. Nolaf. Evil King Nolaf.
I mean, they gotta whip the shit out because they're doing it over the credits.
And I should point out that the king, the good king, that Celia's father, the one who's been kidnapped, his name is King Laffon. Yeah. King Laffon.
Looks like Cat Noir takes off his mask and Miraculous Ladybug gets to see him. So they fall in love and they skip all that nonsense and not knowing each other. So that's nice.
That's like 150 episodes lost when they do that.
The fact that like she saves him. Okay, sure. Yeah. Like he was trapped in the thing. She saved him. He's like, I wish I could give you my love. Like, dude, slow your roll. Like you could just say thanks. You don't have to be, I pledge thee my troth because you freed me from like, a really affectionate tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then she just takes her mask off and says, it was actually me the whole time, dipshit.
Yep. And I was like,
you know me. This is weird.
Also, I'm wearing the exact same outfit that you Oh, maybe they actually did. No, they added a cape. I forgot. They added a cape.
Yeah, yeah. Cape and a mask.
Added a cape. Yeah. And that's the end. If you wanted more of this, I'm very sorry to tell you, you will not get it until Ryan Reynolds does a reboot with the original voice cast.
Mm-hmm. Why not? I can't imagine that there's any other use of that franchise that people enjoy these days.
Yeah, stick with the Timberlakes. Stick with the Timberlakes. Gina would pay her. Gina will do it.
Absolutely.
Pay me.
Trust me.
Pay me. I'll force feed feed happiness into your children.
And there's nobody you want force feeding your children like TV's Gina Ippolito.
True dat.
That is episode 4 of 5. I don't even remember what the fifth one is. These have really broken my brain, if I could be honest with you.
They got bad, but they're on the schedule, so we got to finish them.
The last one is just referred to as an interactive toy / game.
That
I don't know.
Could be very, very bad. I don't even know if there's a story attached to it.
Could be rough.
We'll see.
Could be rough. Anybody want to plug anything before we get out of here today? That is our show. We have talked about Trolls Before Trolls. And it turns out it's not very good.
Yeah, that is correct.
But I enjoyed it. You know what? Enough weird things happened in this. I can be happy. If for no other reason, we talked about the cool new lights on the outside of my house.
You just liked those short shorts.
I did. I'm not going to lie. You know what? Let's bring back the short shorts.
Ugh.
Although they kind of are back in women's fashion, aren't they?
Do not.
They never went away in women's fashion.
Yeah. But yoga pants kind of took their place a little bit, didn't they?
No, short shorts are still going strong.
All right.
You can have both things, Ray. Both things can make a butt look good.
I mean, what doesn't make a butt look good? Am I right? Chan's secret folder?
Mm. Yeah, having a tree branch shoved up there.
That would not be great, yeah.
But still found in Chan's secret folder.
Yeah. I mean, I like to have a variety.
The Magic Trolls and the Troll Warriors.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or, "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.